and let them be tested first, and let them serve as deacons. If they prove themselves blameless, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I can remember when God first started using me in the church in somewhat of an official capacity, and Liberty Baptist Church had called me and examined me and ordained me, not ordained me, but they installed me as a trustee of the church, and I thought that that was a big deal for the church to actually choose me in some kind of official capacity to actually serve them, and I enjoyed that. And the Liberty Baptist, as many of Baptist churches do, they use the office of a trustee more as a building and grounds plus the legal requirements of the church to oversee the legal requirements of the church. And I can remember how wonderful it was to serve people. And I can remember the particular first winter after the nominating committee had sought me, called me, put me in the office, is that we had a terrible snowstorm. And I loved my pastor. And so after I got done taking care of my driveway at about 5 o'clock in the morning, I loaded the snowblower up in the back of my van, and I took it to the church, and I took care of all the sidewalks of the church and never told my pastor who had done that, but I just wanted him to know that I loved him, and I took care of that for him so that he wouldn't have to do that when he got there, which would be equivalent to going around our entire building. I enjoyed doing that. Later, I was called to preach at nursing homes. Probably the most intimidating thing that I've ever done in my entire life was go to a nursing home and preach at Mount Pleasant Nursing Home in Mount Airy. I can remember that I had such a sweet woman. Her name was Pat Smith, and her husband, Walt, who was a jail chaplain for Howard County, they would accompany me along with my wife and my children, and we would go there, we would grab the residents out, we would get the Bibles out or the hymnals out, we would set them down at the table, and Pat would lead them in service, in the music part of the service, and then allow me to do the preaching. And I can remember one time standing there, and then you understand if it's like in a nursing home, I had one woman come around. I remember plain as day, I was devastated, and she stood about 2 feet from me, or maybe closer than that, right in my face, screaming, "Sit down and shut up." And I was like, well, I'm not sure this is the affirmation I was looking for this particular calling. And then I can remember that I was sitting in the congregation, and I was sitting about where John was, maybe over a little bit, Liberty Baptist Church, on a rare occasion that my mom had come to our church service, and for whatever reason, I don't even know, she was in Texas, and she came up to visit us, and Pastor Keith Quirk was standing there talking about the ordination service that was about ready to take place for me to send me into the ministry, and my mom was sitting right beside me, and I was planning on telling her after service. I hadn't had an opportunity to tell her yet. So he told her, my mother, in the congregation, in front of everybody, Brother Clayton selling his home, selling his business, and moving away to Kentucky. That was an interesting lunch experience after that particular day. While in college, I was called to teach at a retirement, semi-retirement community or assisted living community in Louisville, Kentucky, and I enjoyed the opportunity to sit down and teach older people. And people serve in many capacities in a church. There's many people that serve in so many areas and they're not recognized, but I do think that there's a couple of offices that should be recognized that is spelled out in Scripture so that there is a affirmation on that individual. There's a confirmation that the church actually recognizes that we, or Jesus Christ, has called them to serve the bride of Christ. For me, it was an affirmation of God's choice in my life, and it was a confirmation for not only me but the church. And today we've gathered for such a purpose. We've gathered to affirm what the Lord is doing and lend our confirmation to his calling and to the work that he's called these two men to. We are here today, God willing, to install and ordain Randy Norman and Michael DeFreitas in the office of deacon. I'm going to spend some time really talking about deacon. And one of the difficult things about the office of deacon is that we're all clouded by how a church does that office of deacon. But when we look into the scriptures, there is only 6 verses in all of the Bible that even mentions the word deacon. There's only 2 places in the Bible that it's mentioned. It's mentioned in Philippians 1:1, where it just simply commends to the church the particular people or this particular person, I don't remember his name off the top of my head, as a deacon. It mentions nothing in regard to qualifications. It mentions nothing in regards to characteristics or what they're supposed to do. It just names that person. And the only other place in all of Scripture that talks about deacon is the word that is laying in your lap now. And out of those 6 verses, it is only mentioned 4 times. And the only place that speaks specifically about the office of deacon only speaks about the qualifications of deacon and gives no direction as to what the office entails. So you can understand why it's a little bit difficult to try to understand what a deacon is supposed to do, because the Bible doesn't explicitly state that. But I do believe that the Bible is clear about what the role of the office is. And this past Thursday, with the deacons sitting around the table, I had printed out some material for them to help us as we go through to learn about what this office is. And I'm going to leave some things out of this particular verse, this passage that we have this morning, because I am still dealing with it myself, so I'm not going to speak to that, because somebody's going to say, well, Brother Clay, why didn't you speak to such and such, and why didn't you speak to such and such? Well, I'm not ready to yet, so I'll speak to what I know. So where do we go to understand the function within the local congregation? Now, even though that I had said that, and we're going to turn to Acts in just a moment, I've got my thoughts ahead of me. Even though that the word deacon is only mentioned 4 times in the entire Bible, the word deacon, as far as a verb, an adverb, or some type of derivative of the word deacon, is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. And that word means a servant of, or a servant to, or a table servant. It's always in the service capacity. In the first place that we see this, that's historically understood, and I believe it as well, is in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, where you've got the installation of 7 men for a particular purpose to meet the physical needs of the church, which in turn brings unity to the body of Christ, because things are done fair. Neil, does that ever happen to you? Yeah, it happens to me too, buddy. Me and Neil, we're kindred brothers. Where was I at? I haven't started that one yet. Heather, help me out. You're paying attention. Anyhow, we're going back to Acts chapter 6 before we actually read the particular passage that these men have been called in a church that has become split and divided. They have chosen for themselves men of great dignity and honor in order to equitably, proud of me, aren't you there, sister? Thank you. To serve the local congregation in order to maintain the unity of the body. Now, before we get to it, and you're going to notice that the passage is talking about 2 particular type of women. It's talking about Hellenist and Hebrew. And it's actually talking about one type of people that have been split into 2 because of what has taken place historically. There was class envy and prejudice between the Hellenist women and the Hebrew women. The Hellenists were the Greek-speaking, this is incorrect technically, but they were the Greek-speaking Jews. those that were part of the dispersia, those who were along with the Babylonian exile, they had been taken out of Jerusalem. They'd lost the language. They spoke Greek. When they were returned back to Jerusalem, they never picked up the Hebrew anymore. And the Hebrew women were the ones that were never dispersed, were always within the local area, maintained the Hebrew and the Aramaic, which Jesus spoke. And so there was class envy. We are the true Hebrews. We are the chosen ones. You guys were exiled. You lived in a foreign land. You were away from where God has called us people to be. So let's read this particular passage. And if you're the type of person that likes to underline or highlight in your Bible, there's a few words in here that I think would be helpful for you to go ahead and highlight or circle for later on when you see these and you're reading them on your own. Verse 1, chapter 6 of Acts. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, Greek-speaking Jews, arose against the Hebrews because the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Highlight that word. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching of the word of God to serve tables." Highlight the word serve. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to the duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry." Highlight or circle that word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, the proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, the reason that I wanted you to highlight or circle these words, if we go back and look in verse 1, where it talks about the daily distribution, that word there for distribution is the word deacon. To deacon the distribution or to give out. And then if you look in the end of verse 2, where it talks about to serve tables, that word again is deacon. It is the verb form of the noun to actually do something. And then in verse 4 says, but we, talking about the apostles, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the deacon of the word. That's to serve the word. So the Bible makes it very clear in the 100 usages of the word deacon in the verb form or adverbial form or some type of derivative of the word deacon, that the office of deacon is to serve, just like the pastor is called to serve the congregation. The pastor's service is slightly different. And I just want to make mention of this for a moment, because some of the people in the congregation, when they were approached, and we had about 8 men on the ballot for that had been nominated by the church to serve, it was a little bit of confusion as to what the office of deacon was, and so they didn't really quite understand it. But here the Bible makes it clear that the office of deacon is that of a servant. And you'd say, well, let's look down here and we see Brother Philip. And Philip was the evangelist. And we look here at Stephen, and Stephen was one of the first martyrs after James, and he was an apologist. But that's not the role of deacon. These are just men who had additional gifts and talents and were used in different areas. The deacon is a servant of the church. And even though that the first deacons were instituted to meet the physical needs of the church, it was much, much more than that. People often come to the scriptures with an idealistic view of the church, and they fail to see what scriptures actually say or portray what the church is. We're talking at the very beginning of the church when Christ has ordained the church, Christ has left, and the church is already at odds with one another, and 7 men of good repute in the community have been called in to service in order to maintain the unity of the body. 23 out of the 27 New Testament books were primarily written to remind us that Jesus is Lord, and as soon as we take our eye off of him, trouble within the church takes place. The deacons serve in a role to help us maintain the unity of faith. Now, I want you to keep your eye on the passage and look down through here as I make mention of it. In verse 1, they were used in order to settle complaints against one another. And in verse 2, they assisted the pastors by allowing them to study the Word of God so that they could serve the Word of God to the congregation. And then in verse 3, the men were publicly trusted by both the Hellenists and the Hebrews, by all the people in the churches. They were men that we trust. I don't think that there's a person in here that doesn't trust the men that we have already installed in deacons or the ones that we are about ready to ordain to the position or ministry of deacon. In verse 3, again, it was visible that God was at work in their lives because they were full of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, they were full of faith. They were men who were clearly led by Jesus. In verse 5, again, they were publicly affirmed by the entire congregation. It pleased the whole congregation. In verse 6, they were publicly sanctioned. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and they laid hands on them. So there is a process by which we do that. In verse 7, it benefited the whole church. The word increased and the number of people that joined increased. And even the priest turned good. I don't understand that passage at all. So I'm just letting you know. Toby, when you figure that out, would you please let me know what does it mean by the priest or turn around and being good? I don't get it. And one additional. Just because these men here in Acts was chosen for the task doesn't mean that they didn't have other spiritual gifts, as I've already made mention with Philip and Stephen. We had approximately 8 men that the church has placed forward for consideration. Each of these men, the deacons and myself, we went to and we asked for them to prayerfully consider being nominated and ordained as a deacon, and for various reasons through their prayers they had declined, except for the two that will be set before you today. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, says that they are to be dignified, meaning that they are worthy of respect due to their allegiance to Jesus Christ. It says that they are not to be double-tongued. It was extremely important during that time period when you have the Hebrews and the Hellenists not to say one thing to one person and turn around and say another thing to another person. As Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It says that they're not to be addicted to much wine. Paul says deacons must not be given to excess drinking. And this was especially important in the early church, as it was part of hospitality to serve somebody wine as they went from house to house, and they would drag the name of Christ down if they were going as drunkards through the street as people were welcoming them into their homes. Therefore, deacons were called and are called to practice moderation in regards to alcohol. But I think that that's true for all Christians. But it's especially true for those who have the calling of God upon their lives. Paul says that they're not to be greedy, and it seems as though that might be kind of odd, but it's not, because historically speaking, it appears that the deacons were the ones who had control, or not control, but the responsibility of the finances of the church. I could say something about Judas Iscariot, but I won't do that to you, Brother Toby. It says that they were to hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They are to know by how they were saved and by whom they were saved. They must know the why. They need to know and believe what they believe about their faith in Jesus is not only Savior, but as King Jesus is the Savior of the world, those who believe in universalism are not those who trust in Jesus for their salvation. They are, as James says, they would be unstable. It says that they are to handle their homes well. Do you notice that it says that they are to handle their homes well and it doesn't speak to the outcome? Because you can't guarantee the outcome with your best efforts. One cannot determine the outcome of another based on the effort one pours into them. The only thing that we can be responsible is our conduct in our homes as we lead in godliness, as we fall underneath the feet of Jesus Christ. We are to lead those as He leads us and leave the results up to Him. Brother Jim, Toby, Neil, and Arnold, would you stand? Based upon our examination of Randy and Michael, do you affirm and place them before the church for ordination today?
Yes.
Please be seated. I want you to note that it's unanimous by the current deacons. Randy and Michael, would you please stand? Do you accept this appointment and ordination as deacons and the calling on your life for this church?
I do.
Please take a seat. Have you heard and understood the characteristics that have been set forth by the Scriptures? Have you heard and understood the qualifications of the office of deacon? Have you been informed as to the duty of the office as sought or as explained by Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in the ordination, not in the ordination, but in the time that we talked to you? Do you understand that you are to help assist the pastor in the distribution of the benevolence? To call shut-ins on your weekly schedule. Where possible, be available to visit those in the hospital. To be honest and confidential in all matters that come before you for the unity of the church. Do you understand these things that are set forth in Scripture? Do you accept this appointment? And if so, do you plan on to execute it to the best of your ability? There is no greater joy than to be able to serve Jesus by serving His bride because Jesus loves her so much. I'm going to ask for Michael and Randy to come forward and come up to the platform this morning. I'm going to ask you guys to take a seat behind me. I'm going to ask Neil, Toby, Jim, and Arnold to come forward this morning. And we're going to do as the Scriptures tell us to do. We're going to lay our hands on them, and we're going to confirm them, and we're going to pray over them. And then when we're done, we're going to ask Maggie to come up and sit by her husband, and we're going to ask the women to come and lay their hands on you as they see, as they're so moved in order to pray for you.
Lord God, our Father, we just ask for your watch care over these two men who you've chosen to serve this congregation here at Pleasant Valley. We just pray that you just keep them strong in their faith. We hold them up as your servants, that you would be able to use them in a mighty way to bless this church and to honor you in everything that you do, holding true to the beliefs of the Christian faith, honoring Jesus in everything, and loving those around them the way that you have loved us. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Dear God, we just come before you right now and thank you for these 2 men that step forward. Lord, there's responsibility here that I know they understand. And we just thank you for the opportunity to have to serve with them. Lord, I ask you to guide them and direct them as they go this new journey. In your name we pray.
Father, I do want to lift up Brother Randy and Brother Michael to you. I pray, Father, that you are with them each and every day, that your presence is felt and felt strongly, and you would lead and guide them and help them as they begin this new journey as being a deacon, as being a servant of the church, a servant of the people. I just ask that you bless both of them on their way and help them be the servant that they truly can be to your kingdom. Amen.
Lord, I pray for both of these men and their families that you will give them wisdom and the ability to serve the church as you see fit, and also to keep unity within the church at all times. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would help them to prioritize their lives, that first they submit to you, then they take care of their physical family, that they never place the church ahead of their own household, for Lord, their church would be nothing if everybody placed the church ahead of their household. The church is always better served when the house takes precedent or preeminence over the church. Father, I do pray as Toby had made mention, wisdom, that they might be able to think with your mind, that you would lend them the Holy Spirit in such a way that would help them walk through decisions that they may need to make future down the road. Father, I also pray that you would help guard their hearts, as sometimes, Lord, we need to speak about things that aren't always public to the rest of the congregation. Lord, that you would help them to understand that we are fallen humans and that sometimes, Lord, we deal with things that aren't necessarily pleasant, Lord, but it is for your benefit and your glory and your kingdom that we serve you. Father, I pray that they would never grow weary in their service for you, Lord. Lord, sometimes things can seem to be a burden, but Lord, if we rightly fall underneath you, we'll enjoy service from the first day that you call us until the last breath that we take. It's always a joy to serve you, and we always serve you by serving those with us, Lord. That's the only way that we can serve you, as Miss Adrena talked about in Children's Church today. We've got to demonstrate your love to other people, Lord. Love you, love them. Give them the capacity to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Brother Michael. Thank you, Brother Randy. And I had a book on your seat right there that I think would be beneficial for you to read, all the deacons that have one this morning. And Michael, I want you to remain up here. Randy, if you would go ahead and have a seat.
Thank you.
And Maggie, would you please come forward? Go ahead and have a seat, please. Any of the women that would like to come up here and pray over Maggie would be greatly appreciated this morning, because a man in the church is only as good as the wife that he has supporting him. So would you come and do that this morning? I want to close by saying that the pastor has very little to do with those who get installed or ordained as deacon other than to be able to officiate the service. God has called them. You have recognized it. You have affirmed them for this particular position. And I thank you for that. That's why I didn't participate in the prayer over Maggie, because I wanted it to be organic. I wanted it to be the church, and the pastor needed to step away from that. So this morning I'm going to ask Brother to conclude us with a song of invitation. I am very proud of these two men for willingly to accept the call that God has placed upon their lives. I think that they'll find that this is a lot lighter of a requirement than they probably anticipate, which I think would be a good thing, especially for one of them. It also says in the passage that for them to be able to fulfill the role as God has called them, that it would be a great benefit to them. And I don't think, as I made mention last week, that we do a good job or do a job well at being able to utilize our deacons. And so if you're struggling with something, give your deacon a call. All the things I say about a deacon is true for me. If you are in need of something or you know that somebody's in need, call me or call one of the deacons. It's not just a office that we have appointed somebody to just so that they have a title attached to the name. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to be a biblical church and follow after Jesus Christ.
Please stand if you're able.
All to Jesus.